Well, folks, welcome back to the Pre-Construction Podcast. It's Gareth McGlynn here with all your pre-construction crack. Today's episode is following on from Women in Construction last week. We got the one and only Rachel Daly back on. If you remember, I spoke to Rachel. It was actually, the subject was the QS that takes no BS. If you haven't listened to that one, it's definitely worth listening to. Rachel, she is a certified quantity surveyor and a certified project manager, actually. She's in New York and she is a senior cost manager. She's done some incredible projects, but I wanted to get her back on to discuss women in construction because the fact that Rachel has done so well for such a young woman is mightily impressive. So I wanted to understand the skills that she has and how she has adapted those skills to get the success that she's got. Really enjoyed this, catching up with Rachel. Again, she's an Irish lady, so excuse the language and the slang. I hope you enjoy this. As always, before we hear from Rachel, let's hear from our two sponsors, Beck Technology and Concentric.
Hi, I'm Steve DeLordo, founder and CEO of Concentric, the first holistic platform for pre-construction. As a former executive officer of one of the largest general contractors in the U.S., I have experienced firsthand the challenges the industry is facing, particularly in pre-construction. Pre-construction is still a highly manual and fractured collection of processes. Essential information is kept in ad hoc, scattered spreadsheets and documents, which really limits the understanding and hides the full picture of a project for all those involved. Concentric is here to change that. Our 360-degree platform unites data, workflows, and people. With Concentric, you and your team can access real-time insights and data, assess and mitigate risk to ensure a successful project outcome, and most importantly, unlock the enormous capacity of your talent and your data. To learn more about Concentric and to book a demo, head to our website, concentric.com. That's spelled concentric.com. Concentric, it's pre-construction recalibrated for the modern builder.
Rachel Daly, welcome back to the Pre-Construction Podcast.
Gareth, how are you doing? How have you been?
What is the crack?
Not sure, same old ding dong.
Good, good. Okay, so anybody doesn't know Rachel, and you haven't listened to the first episode, we did a brilliant episode with Rachel. It was probably only a couple of months ago. It was that good. It got that much traction. The analytics are through the roof. We wanted to get you on again, but specific to one topic. So if you haven't heard the first episode, I'm going to put the links in the show notes. But just to give you a kind of flavor, we talked about everything from why construction, Rachel's QS degree compared to the US education system, her QS work in Australia, working and being thrown into the deep end on the largest children's hospital in the Southern Hemisphere, and then most recently working with Linesight on one of New York City's newest skyscrapers, the 60-story JP Morgan Chase headquarters. So brilliant episode. Go back, have a listen, have a watch, and enjoy. But today is all about women in construction, and that's what we're going to talk about. And I want to go back, not too far, but back whenever you were thinking early on about construction, Rachel. Was there any women that gave you advice? Were there any women mentors? What did you think as a woman trying to get into the construction space?
Good question. I suppose the most influential in my life is from my mother. She was like, get out and get yourself a decent job. Go to college. I never thought I'd end up in the construction game. And I suppose when I got into construction, the first women I suppose I saw when I graduated were, not to put it brutally, but the office manager and the receptionist, you know, the back of house people, the business developers. When I was on site, there was just men around me. There was men in the boardroom. So I suppose, and again, I never really saw the male, female, the gender dysphoria, you know, but I suppose it was probably men that took me under their wing, you know, that did mentor me. And I had great men all the way up through my career and still to this day. I suppose I work with women now, you know, there's women to the left of me, women to the right of me, women as leaders, women beneath me. And I don't like to say beneath me, sorry, they're just on the lower pecking order. But I suppose I see myself probably more so as a mentor these days than actually, you know, looking to be mentored. I suppose that's the main thing, the way I see it. I've always had men and women, you know, on different projects and things like that. Unfortunately, it has been men that have mentored me, not unfortunately, but I suppose it's the benefit of working in this industry. And I suppose they've always taken me under their wing. And I don't see, again, I walk into an office and I don't see the gender thing. I suppose I do see that there is very little women in the office that are picking up my career or picking up the career as a QS, but that's pretty much it, really, to be honest. I didn't really have a female to look up to.
Yeah, and we talked about that. I think it's getting better, especially, I mean, when I work with the general contractors, the consultancies, the developers, the owners, even the subcontractors, there are more women getting the directors and the VP level positions. Now, listen, I still think it's nowhere near enough, but there are, because even when you started back, when you did your degree and you came into the industry, it was very, very, very men focused. And even in the early days, going through and then going to Australia, what do you think, as a cost manager, as a cost consultant, what do you think were the advantages of being a woman? Because we'll talk about the advantages first. I mean, I know that the characteristics and the personalities of women in construction and cost management, estimate and pre-construction, there's a lot of things that they can bring to the table. Did you see that early on?
Yeah, definitely. And I say, obviously, there wasn't women that I suppose that would have been directors and things like that, but there was women when I was a junior QS, there was the associates and the AADs. Unfortunately, there was no director women, and they were more than worthy of it. But when I suppose went in, I saw that, you know, they would grab you by the hand and they would say, right, this is how we do X, Y, and Z. But I suppose what I have as a woman is I'm very detail oriented. I can probably do 10 things at once. I can be on a call while I'm putting together a cost report, while I'm telling X, Y, and Z beside me to do this. I think we're multitaskers too. And I think that's actually an added attribute that a QS should have, that you should be able to jump from a call to a cost report, jump onto another call, jump back into a measure, jump into an estimate. You've got to go uptown to go to a meeting. You've got to go downtown. I think we're multitaskers, and I think we're very detail oriented. I also think too that women are more level headed. You know, I've been in meetings where men lose the plot. Now, I understand the reason behind it, but I think cool, calm and collectedness, we can walk out of a meeting and go, yeah, okay, that was absolutely brutal, but let's try put the plan in place. And a lot of men have that too, but I just think they come out and they need to cool down, whereas women come out and go, right, here's what we'll do. We'll plot it from A to Z. And I suppose I'm a bit of a hothead, because I was trained by lads and I saw, shit, that's how they got things done. You know, I'd come out of a meeting and go, right, arms and legs in the sky, this is how we do it. So I suppose maybe that's not a good attribute, but maybe it shows that I've picked up how men are successful and unsuccessful at doing things. And I hate using the men and women, you know, disparity, but I think we just have a more level head and we're more calm and collective. And I think that's what I have. Now, I do stress out, and anyone that knows me knows that I stress out and I'll be throwing a few F-bombs around the floor and things like that. But it's genuinely how I get things done.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have seen people then that come out and they're too cool, calm, and that doesn't work either. So I think you have to pick up your own flair from what you see on the floor, what you see in meetings. You kind of see what works for other people.
And I think that's one of the things as well that obviously you have got the ability to do is learn from anyone, to be able to pick, and do not see, as you say, the gender. It's all about what they're doing right now. How can I learn what to do and what not to do, and to make me the best I can be, which is really important. And as you say, sometimes you can't maintain the same level of emotion all the time. Sometimes you got to be emotional. You got to drop the F-bombs. You got to get stuff done, and it's about understanding and knowing the people you're dealing with and being able to say, right, how am I going to get a reaction and the proper reaction to get this stuff done?
Exactly.
And again, telling you, go back to the first episode, it was titled The QS That Doesn't Take Any BS. So that it says that for a reason. And then if we can quickly flip, obviously, the advantages, what sort of disadvantages do you think there are for women, especially progressing in the career of cost management, pre-construction and estimating?
I think there's probably not much of an influence with trying to gather people. You know, it should probably start back in school. You know, don't be afraid to go to pick construction as your course. Don't be afraid to go, this is what I want to do. And I suppose you know, even in the QS degree, don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, a lot of when I was, even when I'm, I see there's a few girls on the floor at the moment, but they just get on and do their work, you know, whereas I'd be like, right, what are you up to today? Let's bring you into this. I think it's almost influence as well from your parents, you know, what do you want to do? I think that stereotype still exists that girls can't be in construction. Yeah. Now I say girls can't be in construction. I'm not in construction. I'm not on the building site. And they're the women I probably admire the most. Yeah. I go on site. I've been on site numerous times, as you know, from the last podcast. I've been on every site that I've worked on. And I do see the ones that are the electricians and the ones that are the block layers. And I go, no, they're the women in construction. We're the women in construction financially.
Yes.
You know, we know how the construction goes together. But I think if you do have a flair for it, I just think go for it.
Absolutely.
You know, I think ask questions too. And someone on the floor is going to pick up that person wants to work. You know, I think that's the way. Well, that's the way I feel like someone took a shine to me, you know, that kind of a way.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where it comes from. It's about picking the real talent, well, the real kind of driven people who want to be there. And it does come from the parents. It comes from the influences, the education system. I think they've got, and I think construction has changed so much. You're right. The girls and the women in the trades, they're doing, they're trailblazing. They're incredible. But the people that are going to college or even finish high school or secondary school, as we know it, they have got to be given the opportunity to go into pre-construction. All I know, well, and this is a marketing problem with construction, but I know all they think about is hard hats and dirt and muck and blocks and electricians. That's all well and good. And that is a massive part of construction. But yeah, the bigger part of construction and where the single biggest decisions are made are actually in pre-construction. And
100%, yeah.
And estimating. So I think construction's got a marketing problem, but I think it's got to start with the education of
100%. Even third level education, you see these people that are in accountancy and economics. I did economics. That's part of my degree. Like money, like accountants, like, yeah, we've got calculators as QSs. I always refer back to my calculator. But like you can go into anything, and America is great at doing that, you know. If you're in finance at all, you can probably, there's avenues there, as they say, there's avenues there that you can actually go, well, I'm really good at this. And you could probably say to the next student, well, actually use that in construction, because they're going to need a finance year at the start, the finish, the middle, the end. You need accountancy for everything. I remember one time on site, I was actually called a glorified accountant. I was shocked and horrored. I was like, the cheek of him calling me that. But then when you went back, you're like, you know what? I am actually doing the maths on the table. I'm just making sure that he's got his numbers in a row. So, you know, accountancy is a big part of what we do, you know, in lieu of construction. I know I'm in construction and I love looking up at buildings and all that good stuff. But I think if they can almost put a spin on the third level education too, that accountancy and you know, engineering and like, you know, electrical trades, even all that stuff. If it starts there, it's just like elaborate on a degree and get your master's in something else. And, you know, most doors should open then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you can get in early at a trades level, at a degree level, I think there's a place for everyone within construction.
100%.
Whatever your skills are. And I think as well, just coming back to cost management, pre-construction and estimating, I think that the relationship building part is so important right now in communication. And I think women are very good at that. They're very good at being clear, concise, detail-orientated. And I have no problem admitting it. They're a little bit better at that than men are. I think there's an opportunity here, especially in pre-construction and estimating. You hear me harping on about it all the time. The amount of people that we need to get into this space to be able to build all these buildings and roads that we need to build. The communication side's huge.
100%, yeah. It's amazing. Like, even when I'm writing emails, you know, I'd always actually have someone else proofread and go, did I actually say the right thing? Did I explain the story? I'm harping on constantly to my guys that are here, interns, juniors, seniors. I'm like, write the story so that if you don't have to answer the client a second time, you've actually told the story. You've told him where his money started and where it's ending. So as you said, pre-con is a big thing. And with pre-con, if you've got a budget in your head, that is the budget, and the client will never forget that number. He doesn't care how you get to it or how you come back to it. You know, the client is always, well, I started at X. Why am I now at Y? Well, the shit hit the fan along the way, and explain to me how we got there. So, you know, there's always a way. I think we talked about it in the last one. Irish people are great at telling stories.
Yes.
But it's not that we're telling stories. There's actually the start, the plot, the conclusion. Yeah. You know, we're good at that. So I think pre-con is obviously the same difference. So, you know, if we could get more people into establishing costs or budgets and all that good stuff, I think that's, you know, that's that's how you started. Like, you know, that is the sod of turf being turned.
Yeah, and I think you'll echo this as well. I think it's up to, and I've talked to this, this about in that podcast, is it's up to everyone to be able to talk and speak to females and women all over and outside of the construction industry. Tell them about the industry. Tell them about how successful you are. Tell them about the decisions and the responsibilities that you've been given. And I think that's, and if anybody's listening to that, if they go to a party, a barbecue, in the next 4 or 5 weeks, talk to people there about how well you're doing in construction. Listen, we're not good at talking about ourselves, but that is honestly, if 2 or 3 conversations can bring 4 or 5 women into construction, then it's a success.
Yeah. And I was at an event actually a few weeks ago, and you know, I was probably the more shyer one because I was actually a guest with the contractor, and they were all talking, this guy was architect talking, and he goes, I think there's guys in Europe that do that. And I was like, quantity surveyors. And he goes, yeah, what does that actually mean? And one of the guys pointed over and he goes, well, there's a QS if ever I see one pointing at me. And he goes, she'll explain it. And of course, I was like, well, I like numbers and I like blocks and I don't know how else to explain it. You give me a set of drawings, I'll tell you how much you need. And he was kind of in awe going, Jesus, like almost like Stone Age stuff. And I'm going, yeah, well, I actually like the Stone Age stuff about it. So,
yeah,
you know, technology is involved and all that stuff. Again, say, you know, bringing even technology into it, you can get into construction via technology.
Yeah.
So if you've got a flair at all for computers and you know, any type of niche for modeling and all that good stuff, yeah, you know, you can, there's avenues again.
That's key. That to me, the reverse mentoring of that, Rachel, is key for me. So if you were to mentor someone or you had a diverse team, the young IT model guy can learn off the bricklayer or the electrician or the mechanical engineer. And that, yeah, to me is how the best teams within pre-con are kind of put together, is that,
yeah,
that diversity.
Exactly. And I do see some of the younger guys even doing some of the formulas at the moment. And I'm going, oh no, give me a scale ruler and a color set of color pencils any day. But again, I suppose that's what makes a dynamic team, that he or she is good at that. And I'm almost sitting here going, no, I just want to know the cost of it, but tell me how you get to it. And where's my budget being taken out of? And where's my cost being drawn from? So, you know, a team is not just, you know, it's a set of dynamic people. And back to that too, you know, if you had everybody the same on a team, that'd be a crap team.
Yeah.
You know, we need to have, back to the topic at hand, boys and girls on the same team,
yeah,
you know, sorry, men and women, whatever way we want to categorize it. And you need to have just people with massive skill set.
Big team. And you need to have, to me, you need to have some of the trades as well. I think that the women in the trades right now, if they come to a stage where they say, you know what, I'm going to, and rather than leave the industry, they've got to be considered at this level of cost management, of pre-construction and estimating, because they've been through it, they've done all the hard grafting.
Oh yeah.
It's in their head. They can now put it down on a piece of paper and go, you know what, that duct is not going to work there. And this is,
yeah,
why, because I've done
it. I think the office environment would be more nicer than the site environment. You know, they've got their flair for having rows with lads on site, whereas they come into the office and it's not so bad. It's more of a laid back environment, I should say. Well, it's with a bit added stress, but like that too. Yeah, I'd love to see a woman who has done 20 years as a tradie and then come into site. As you said, the knowledge and the power that person would have would be phenomenal.
Brilliant. And they don't realize it. They take it for granted because they're doing it every day and they don't see the value it would add to other side of the business. And coming back to what you said as well about storytelling, I know that we're traditionally renowned for storytelling, Irish people. But I think the operations teams within these GCs and owner developers, I think the really good communicators and the storytellers within that should be transitioning over to pre-construction, because that's essentially what you're doing. You're giving the client a number, but you've got to tell the story in a methodical, practical way on how you get that number.
Exactly. And I think the skill set is probably missing for women because they haven't been brought into the boardroom. You know, I'm striving to climb the ladder. Most women are striving to climb the ladder. We see guys that have that skill set and can say a number at the top of the table. But genuinely, I've seen a lot of them, back to the not being able to back into your numbers, and literally they're saying a number, but they're going out, and the chances are the person that they're going out of the boardroom to is one or two women to go, how did I said a number, now how do I back into it? And I've seen it. I'm not naive to the whole journey of it.
Yeah.
So again, I'd like to see more women at the boardroom table than it be the genuine boys club.
Yes.
Because I have seen some great women. I've admired some great women. I've also looked at some women and go, Jesus, I don't want to be you. But at the same retrospect, I've looked at men and went, Jesus, how have you got that far?
Yeah.
And you can't even you can't do what I do, but yet you're, I don't know how you're there. But again, it's probably he can tell a better story than I can. You know, it's sounds like jealousy, but it's not. It's almost an admiration thing, as well as has a negative impact as well.
And now having interviewed you twice, Rachel, I mean, I can see the what you would bring making that shift. I mean, what are you most looking forward to from going from associate director, indie director, up to VP level? What's the big driver for you?
Look, I probably thrive on praise. So I'm probably trying to leave that behind at the moment. I don't need to be praised for a cost report that I've done 100 of in the past. I suppose I'm trying to bring my talent to the table. And, you know, someone asked me a question and I have the same answer as the guy beside me. I've been in a boardroom before where it was me that could just answer the question and it wasn't me showing off. It was like, well, this lad's looking for an answer. So I'm going to give it to him. And it was me that blurted out the answer. You know, I've done that 2 or 3 times because... And it's almost probably a level of intimidation for myself that I go, well, I better not say the answer because there's 4 other boys at the table. And actually, hold on a minute, I actually did the work, so I actually have the answer. So why not put me in there? But I think the transition needs to happen from my level onwards. You know, I embrace everyone. I embrace boys, girls. I've got a mixed team here in the office. I've got every level. I look up to male and female. So I think it has to be, I think a lot of it has to be based on skill set too. I don't mind going into a boardroom and I am the only girl there or there's another girl across the table. I genuinely don't mind that because I probably was brought up that I, with boys and girls, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, that you, gender doesn't mean anything. It's probably it's your brain, yeah. You know, at the end of the day. So I probably have a different flair for certain people. I am very detail orientated. I probably get too caught in the weeds. So maybe I'm hoping that I can come out of the boardroom someday and someone can do the weed work for me. You know?
Brilliant. And that's what you've obviously been through it, and that's the experience that you've got. To when you go to director or VP level, you can just it's all there. So you just basically download from it and speak from experience. And that's, I mean, we can't wait to follow your trail now and see you doing that. And if we could go back now and just I like to look back a little bit, what's your most memorable thing from being a woman in construction? I don't want to put you on the spot too much, but is there anything that stood out and you go, you know what, I really enjoyed it? It can be the smallest thing. It doesn't have to be a big, massive 60-foot skyscraper in New York.
Yeah.
It can be something as simple as
back to the skyscraper, and if any young girls that are, or any young up-and-coming people are listening, a 60-story skyscraper is the same as building a single-story house. It has the same levels of complexity, just so that people are aware that every project is the same and every project does come with its own hurdles, prosperity, all that good stuff comes with it. You know, the project will get finished. So I don't want people to think that that's what my claim to fame is either. You know, I've been on small, medium to large projects, should I say. Well, yeah, I suppose my earliest, my fondest, I don't know. I genuinely, and people will laugh at this, I love being a QS. I love doing what I do.
Yeah.
I don't know if I love it to the extent that I did love it before, because I probably live for praise too. You know, I love being, you know, I love when a client sends an email to the director and go, Rach did a great job. You know, I think that was more in Australia. I got that, and it wasn't because we went out looking for it. It was, that's what you got. You know, they sent the email at the end of the project, the project manager did or something, or copied in the client. The client doesn't give a shit, to be honest, 9 times out of 10, that you did a job well done or whatever. The client wants to know that they get the key in the door.
Yeah,
and that I save any money.
Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, I suppose fond memories too is probably a lot of my time in Australia. I know I harp on about it, but it was the sun, sea, sand, you know, that aspect. And it sounds bad, but you know, finishing work on a Friday is great. That they're good memories too. I've had great memories of traveling and all that good stuff. Traveling America, you know, there's no risk without reward. So I was taught that from a young age. So I think everything that I do is a memory, whether it be good or bad. So yeah, I've got great memories of life, great memories of people, great memories of people that I've bumped into. Yeah, I suppose my life itself is a memory. So.
And I think everything you just described there, I think, listen, it would have been possible in another industry, but construction really does give you opportunity. No matter if you rock up in the smallest town in the smallest country in the world, there will be construction people there that you can just latch onto and have that language.
Agreed, yeah.
And people don't understand that when they go to college, or they're not, I suppose it's not talked about. You're probably just advised by your parents. I know I was. I only did an electrical engineering degree because my parents told me to. I had no interest in that at all. I didn't know. I thought I was going to be a professional footballer and they were laughing at me. But that you're influenced then. But I just think that construction, again, it comes down to the marketing of it. It's so international, and it's a language that once you bump into other construction people, QSs, construction managers, it's just so good to be able to sit in a bar and talk about it, restaurant, whatever.
I think the stereotype probably exists in Ireland that, oh God, a girl in construction, like that's intimidating enough when I'm back a house. Can you imagine that the poor girl that is 18 or 19 coming out of college and she's in there with two lads that she went to school with? Now, I know the cycle has shifted because I know a lot of young people in Ireland, whether they be my cousins, friends, families, relatives, all that good stuff. You know, they don't really see it as a taboo anymore, but it's like, oh God, a girl in construction. I suppose the same way of saying a girl is a nurse or a guy is a nurse.
Yeah.
Why does that stereotype exist? I suppose it's back through the ages and things like that, but that doesn't exist in America. It's whatever you want to do is kind of whatever you're going to do. So I think it's almost like, I'd probably push, if I had younger girl cousins, I only have younger guy cousins that are actually going into the industry. But right. If I had a younger girl cousin, I'd probably say to them, can't you get into construction? And they would probably say to me, because the next generation is so money driven, how much money is it? And then I'd probably have to say to them, well, it's great money in certain countries, and it's not, you know, because QSN has.
But it is great money. Yeah. I think my eldest daughter's only 7, but if she came to me and says, listen, I want to build stuff, I would actually. I mean, we're going a bit off on a tangent now, but like the likes of ChatGPT and what's going on in that world, it's going to wipe out a lot of stuff construction. I mean, we've all seen the meme on LinkedIn. You can't get ChatGPT to build a building. It just does not happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, that's great. I would probably try and encourage more women that way. I'd love to actually even, you know, go back to Ireland and do some chats and even the school that I went to, you know, things like that going. Actually, you know, I'm standing up here in a 3-piece suit, but I actually am in construction. I tell the guys what to do 9 times out of 10. So, you know,
To me, that is an unbelievable starting point. But I think the next stage is when you're sitting at director level and VP, and you've got a young QS walking in the door and she's looking around and you come walking in as the VP, I think that speaks volumes. I think that's what we've got to get to. I think we've got to get more people. And it's not just a case of, let's put females and women in VP levels. I'm saying there's multiple VPs in these big companies. Let's get more at that level.
Yeah, and I think even the DE&I, the diversity, equality, and inclusion factor is a big thing. Now, I know it was started years ago, but I don't know whether it was started by a white-collar corporate man. It probably was, you know, he saw the pros and cons to it and said, well, maybe there is women that are actually talented in this platform. So let's bring her in, you know, and then you don't want, I still want it to be mixed bag. I still want the males and the females because, as I said, bringing that the combination together is amazing. Like a lad is going to be able to lift 10 blocks faster than I'm going to be able to lift 2. So, you know, you still have that stereotype and it does exist, like, you know, the strength and all that stuff. But the brain is also a powerful tool and that's strength as well. You know, putting it back to boys versus girls. And I don't ever want to do that because I was mentored by a man and I still have his traits. I know I do even to this day when I say something like, Jesus, there's your man out of my mouth again. So, but yeah, like that too, it'd be class if I was at a head of a table one of the days and I saw two young girls coming in at interns, 19, 20, 21 or whatever age they are. And even if you saw, you can tell someone's flair the minute they have it. Like I can see it already in two of the guys I have here on the floor. I know I can say it, this lad has a notion and has no interest in being here. Whereas the girl beside, she's picking up, she's looking at all the drawings. You can just tell when someone has a flair from, you know, this girl is only 6 months out of college versus a lad that's 6 years out of college and is just here for the paycheck.
Yeah.
You can spot it a mile off. Again, maybe that's the gift the woman has. I don't know.
I can't wait to go to New York and see all the wee mini Rachel Daly's run the boat.
You know what? I'd say a lot of people go, oh, Jesus, that's not a good trait. But look, I get the job done. I can honestly say you know, I don't ever want to leave a project, or if I'm ever moved on to another project, I'm always back over going, well, how's that project going? Is it going? Or how's X, Y, and Z? I think you need to maintain relationships too.
Yeah.
You know, so I think.
Huge. And to me, see, when you talked earlier about the technology side of things, see, once the technology starts incorporating even more and taking the heavy lifting off, getting into the details and the historical data, I think the relationship side of things is going to be 60% of the work. Like, your numbers and understand it and understand construction, yes, all well and good. But to be able to communicate and build relationships and storytell and properly look after the clients and communicate to the subs. That's a
yeah. Client maintenance is client, you know, but that's 101. You know, you got to always communicate back to the client. I think we spoke a few minutes ago about communication. Communication is key. Picking up that phone and talking to your clients, and even communicating to your staff that you're going to be 10 minutes late in the morning time, which is often what I have to do. I often have the text going, can you start that meeting without me? Because I'm going to dial in on the train. And look, they'll all put their hand in the sky and say, yeah, that's Rachel. But look, I'm guilty as charged. I don't mind owning my own. But yeah, it's exciting, I suppose, technology to be brought in. And the next generation, I see them, as I said, they're typing formulas, macros. I'm sitting there going, right, okay, right. Can you just give me the answer to that question there? They've got it all scientifically done. And I still know what my number should be.
Yeah,
because I was just trained a different way, and again, we have to embrace the whole the way technology is going to go and all that good stuff. Yeah,
right, Rachel. Last question: what advice would you give to your younger self? And I'm talking about when you just come out of your degree and you're looking to get into the industry. What three things would you say? Listen, as a young female coming into this industry, I would give you advice in doing A, B, and C.
I probably would say to myself, don't be as, I'd love to have this attitude at 21 when I come out of college.
Yeah.
I'm kind of more, it'll get done kind of situation. Don't be stressing over the small stuff.
Yeah.
I probably say to myself to go home at 6 o'clock because the problem's going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
I was very much, as I spoke in the last podcast, like I would work excessive hours to get the result, to get the clap in the back, but the clap in the back doesn't mean anything too, because in America, and it's horrible to say it, you are just a number unless you're part of a great team. And that sounds horrible. It's just because the size of the population and you know, it'll get done is what I suppose my advice to my younger self is. Don't be so anal about things. I'm very, very, again, I think that's back to me being detail orientated. I sweat a lot of the small stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm a perfectionist, and I've had rows with people because they're like, why do you need to know the minuscule parts of this project? And I'm like, because I just do. That's just, I need to have the drawings printed out and they'll be looking at me going, well, they're on screen. You know, I need to know everything. I don't know whether I tell my younger self, don't change that, because I think I've got a faster way of doing it now. So I'd probably say to my younger self too, it'll get done. So
yeah.
Back to that saying, it'll get done. But yeah, I'd love to look back at little Rach, 21 years old, going into a building site, because I started my career on a building site. I think to be less timid too, you know, less, don't be afraid of what you know, because your answer is your answer. And a lot of guys, I suppose, use that to their advantage when you're on site with a girl and she's going out and she's looking at a pencil app. And, you know, because I remember being in Australia one time and I brought my intern, he was 6'5". Of course, I'm only 5'7". And the guy introduced him, the guy that I met in site was, I don't know, was he the project manager for the client rep or whatever. And he walked us around site, and it was a high rise resi, glamorous pools and all that stuff. You know yourself, Australia high rise. Yeah, and this guy was 21, 22, looking around site, had the hard hat, arses on his head. And he introduced, we got out of the cab, walked onto the site, and your man didn't even introduce himself to me. He went straight for the guy. And we were up on the fifth floor, we're going through all the trades and stuff, going through the pay app, what was done. And your man said, Tim, can you approve that change order to my 6'2" intern? And he goes, well, I don't know, because Rachel's my boss. And I said to him, I said, I'm not your boss, because I don't like that terminology. I said, you work with me.
Yeah.
But your man nearly lost his life that we were after walking 100,000 square feet and he didn't even acknowledge who I was.
Wow.
That's so,
yeah.
Yeah, but I let off because I was like, feck him, sure, Jesus. Because I knew right. By the time we got to the 10th floor. Oh, and I said to him, oh, you want your general requirements paid for, do you? I said, well, your attitude from the time I walked on site. I said, I'll be taking a couple of grand off that. And then sure, the next time I was on site, he was all over me. But
right,
it's horrible that stereotype did exist. And I suppose I don't see it. So maybe someone younger like me that actually sees that, oh, guys are more powerful and guys are going to intimidate you. Maybe I was just fortunate that I grew up that I don't see any difference. Yeah. So if I was to say to a younger girl, don't be intimidated by people, because you go into college on day one, you don't know to say, the guys decide you don't know what the lecturer is going to teach you. So embrace the whole thing. I just say embrace life. It's a journey. Back to my life is a memory. Embrace the whole thing.
And this is what it's about. I mean, to me, I've got to get more senior females and women in construction on the podcast to talk about it, because
we need
to educate people. I mean, you can sit and tell them all, but if you have lived it, you've worn a t-shirt and you can talk about it and give them quick advice, it'll save them years and years in their career.
And I think even the corporate environment in America, they're very inclusive. And I have seen some amazing powerhouses of women, and I go, Jesus, she's class, like, isn't she? Yeah. She's wearing a big diamond ring and a class dress, but she's earned it. Like, she's earned it. You know, I'm admiring her from every retrospect, and, you know, she commands attention. And I just think it's great. I look up to that.
Exactly. It inspires you. It does. It really does. 100%. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, and like, most women would walk in, and they're not there to intimidate men either. They're not walking in going, "Hi, you, Bob, get me a bottle of water." It's not women aren't like that. And, like, you know, I think men's stereotypical view of that, like, if you do see someone like that, I'd be shocked to see it.
And that's another thing. They've got that nurturing characteristic as well. And I see it all the time within pre-construction estimating, because pre-construction estimating cost management, it's stressful. So you have to have a boss or a manager or a mentor that is nurturing and to be able to build a team and to be able to train and develop people.
Yeah. Despite what it sounds like, I am quite a softy, and I can honestly tell you, every manager that I've ever had, he'd be like, Rachel has cried every meeting I've ever had. I think because I can split my personality from my professionalism. Yeah. I can almost go in and I go, like, if someone compliments me, I'm like, don't compliment me. Like, I'm you know, that's fine. I've done the job. I'm here. You know, I've got paid. That's fine. I don't need, you know. Very so good. I suppose I have a Jekyll and Hyde side to me. And I think even to be able to say that out loud, I know myself at this stage. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, Rachel, this has been an absolute blast. We cannot wait to see you climb the ladder in New York on the cost management side. It's been a blast. I will put all links as normal. So the first episode will be down there. Your LinkedIn will be down there. Is there anything else? Any emails or anything? Do you have enough people contact you on LinkedIn?
Oh, yeah. Anyone can contact me on LinkedIn. As I said, the last podcast was a great turnover. Great people I didn't even realize in the industry are reaching out to me. So very successful. So appreciate you taking the time to do that as well. So thank you very much.
Not a problem. The pleasure is all mine. Thank you very much. We'll speak to you
soon.
Thank
you very much, Gert. Thank you very much.
Stuck in spreadsheets? Tired of the endless loop of copying and pasting? Now imagine all your estimating workflows in one program. Beck Technology's innovative Destiny Estimator software streamlines the entire estimating process. With intuitive tools and powerful analytics, you can create accurate and reliable estimates quickly and easily. We understand the challenges pre-con teams face because we were born from construction. When you are ready to streamline your estimating effort, visit us at beck-technology.com and talk with a tech expert in a Destiny Estimator demo today.
Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that crack from two Irish natives. A big thank you to Rachel again for coming on. I love our conversations. It's just honest, it's frank, it's open, and Rachel's like that. She's been like that her whole career, and it's by being like that, she has achieved a massive success, and she continues to do so. So really looking forward to following her career. As always, folks, I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please like, comment, share, subscribe, whatever you usually do where you listen to your podcasts, and stay tuned for more amazing thought leaders within pre-construction.